Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. God is in his holy habitation. He is God who setteth his solidarity in the families. The God of Israel is his that giveth strength and power unto his people. Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him. Amen. God,
who art always more ready to hear than we are to pray, and art to give us more than we could ever desire, pour down upon us the abundance of your mercy, forgiving those things which we have done wrong, and receiving the gifts that you can only present to us. We pray this in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with you, with the Father and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Can you hear me? Okay, our confessional reading for this Sunday morning from Luther's Small Catechism. As the head of the family should teach them in a simple way to his household. The office of the keys and confession. What is the office of the keys? Now together. It is the peculiar church power which Christ has given to his church on earth to forgive the sins of the penitent sinners, to retain the sins of the impenitent, as long as they do not repent. And where is it written? The Lord Jesus breathed on his disciples and said unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. So far. This morning's Old Testament, 2 Samuel chapter 22. The Lord renewed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanliness of my hands, hath he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord, and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and as for his statutes, I did not depart from them. I was also upright before him, and have kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore, the Lord hath recompensed me, according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness in his eyesight. With the merciful thou shalt show mercy, and with the upright man thou shalt show thyself upright. With the pure thou shalt show thyself pure, and with the forward thou shalt show thyself unsavory. And the afflicted people will be saved. But thine eyes are upon the haughty, that thou mayest bring them down. For thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness. So far. This morning's epistle, 1 Peter chapter 3. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you, if you but be followers of that which is good? But, and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, and with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse you of your good conversation with Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. So far the epistle lesson. And please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 18. Jesus spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went into the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, O God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even that publican over there. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And then the publican, standing afar off, he wouldn't even lift up so much his eyes unto heaven. But he smote his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now, one comment here. In the original Greek, it's God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Okay? A sinner could be anybody. The sinner was directly towards him. So, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted forever and ever. So far the Holy Gospel. And we confess our faith according to the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us when Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We continue with our sermon hymn. Please be seated.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace from our triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
My sermon theme this morning is Change Your Name or Change Your Conduct. And it's based upon a portion of our epistle reading, 2 Peter chapter 3. And I would like to read one verse from that. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to everyone that asks you the reason for your hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So far, please be seated. History tells us that Alexander the Great was accustomed to hold military court right there on the battlefield, to try offenders right there on the spot. On one occasion, a young soldier was brought before him for desertion. The soldier was accused of hiding in a ditch to avoid the battle. Alexander asked that soldier, "What is your name?" "Alexander," the accused soldier replied. Well, Alexander walked up to him, stood face to face with that soldier, extended his long, strong arm, and shook him, saying, "Either change your name or change your conduct." Well, every Christian bears a great name to live up to. Either we are reflecting and witnessing to our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, or we don't deserve to bear his name. We must either change our name or change our conduct. This is how St. Peter states it in this morning's epistle reading. He says, "It is better if you suffer for doing good, that is, doing God's will, than for doing evil." Every day all around us, there are people who complain and gripe. Of course, some of their complaints may be legitimate, and they may well deserve a listening ear. But on the other hand, for the majority of everyday complaints have simply a way of conversation. And most of us are not here to offer any sympathy. But on the contrary, we ourselves often need to restrain ourselves from blurting out, "Oh boy, you think you've got problems? Wait and get a load of mine." Unfortunately, this happens in the church, among Christians. And it's not at all unusual to hear fellow Christians complain about the high cost of Christianity, so to speak. After all, we look around and we see the world whirling, speeding, thousands of people are doing their own thing, going on their own way, climbing the ladder of success, eating and drinking and being merry. Not a thing that the world seems to faze them. And the Christian thinks to himself or herself, "Here I sit in my little religious world, trying to do what is right, being honest and conscientious. I go to church, I say my prayers, I attend Bible study, and there isn't a day that goes by that I don't end up getting kicked in the shins, so to speak. Poor little old me. How abused I am. What good is all my work, my effort? Nobody appreciates what I do anyway. Is it really worth it?" And the list goes on and on and on. St. Paul says, "You deserve to get your shins kicked, if that's your attitude. You deserve harsh criticism if you claim to be a Christian, but cry and whine all the time, every time something goes wrong. It's better to be despised for doing right than being praised for doing wrong. To begin with, God does not owe us a thing. We must all realize that. Our Lord never said that the harder we work for him, the more successful we will be. We will gain social status or a thicker pocketbook. No, you'll never find that in Holy Scripture. In fact, nowhere has our God ever promised us a life of free from sorrow and unhappiness, criticism, or disappointment. Quite the contrary. Later in his letter, St. Paul tells us of what we can expect. He says, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial that you are suffering and that you are going through, as though this is something strange were happening to you." As a child of God, we need to be reminded time and time again that our reward for being his children isn't going to come to us here in this life on this earth. The perfect joy, the eternal reward, will come later in glory, in the glory of heaven, in the very presence of God himself. Evidently, the young man under Alexander's command thought that he could retain the status as a soldier without enduring the personal conflicts of battle as a soldier. Now, whether under the command of Alexander the Great or as Christians in Christ's army, the soldier has a duty and a responsibility to his calling, to serve the one whose name we bear. We bear Christ's name. We are Christians. St. Peter says, "In your heart, set apart Christ as the Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for your hope that you have. Either change your name or change your conduct." It is better, if it is God's will, that we suffer for doing good than for doing evil. And look at what our Savior did. He endured scoffing, ridicule. He was abused, hated, falsely accused, condemned, and finally crucified and put to death. Did he deserve any of this because of something that he had done wrong? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. St. Peter says, "Christ died for our sins once and for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring us back to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit." It may well mean that some ridicule and suffering we can't avoid. But Jesus never asks us to fight the battle that he himself was unwilling to fight. On the contrary, Jesus personally puts his own life on the line against sin, death, the devil, and hell, in order that we might go into the battle without fear, without failure, without defeat. It cost him his life. The scene on Calvary's Hill looked pretty bad. Christ was dead. But on Easter morning, all of heaven could echo with hallelujahs, for the battle was done, victory was won, Christ was risen from the dead, he was now alive. Let each of us grow in our personal faith, as God grants such growth through and only through word and sacrament. As we begin to prepare to give an answer to everyone who asks us, let us give the reason for our hope that we have in Jesus Christ. He is our Lord, he is our Savior, he is our King. May God grant this faith and ability to each and every one of us. Amen.
Amen.
Now may the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding abide with us here this morning and extend itself into the joys of eternal life, heaven. Amen.
Oh,
pray for our communicants, but first I'm sure there's a prayer that you would like to personally extend to the throne of grace. Let's do so at this time. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, who callest unto thee all that labor and are heavy laden to refresh them and give rest unto their souls, we pray. Let us this morning experience your love of the heavenly feast that you have prepared for us here on earth. Keep us all from impenitence and unbelief so that no one will partake of this holy sacrament to their damnation. Take off from us the spotted garment of our sinful flesh, our self-righteousness, and give us the garment that has been purchased with your holy precious blood. Strengthen our faith, increase our love and hope, and after this life, grant us all the places at your heavenly table, where we shall eat of the eternal manna and drink of the river of thy pleasure forevermore. Hear us for thine own sake. Amen. We continue with hymn 307. Please be seated. For the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. Truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty and everlasting God, who with thine only begotten Son and the Holy Ghost are one God and one Lord. And in the confession of the only true God, we worship the Trinity person and the unity and substance of majesty coequal. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying,
Amen.
art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is the new testament in my blood which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.
The true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed in the remission of your sins. Drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed in the remission of your sins.
Now may this body and blood strengthen and preserve you, keep you in the one true faith by the life everlasting. Amen. Depart in the Lord's peace. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
fear, be thrown. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for the forgiveness of your sins. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of your sins. And may this body and blood strengthen and preserve you, keep you in the one true faith until life everlasting. Amen. Part of the Lord's peace.
This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that will give you death for the forgiveness of our sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of Christ, the very blood that was shed for our sins on Calvary's cross. Now may this body and blood strengthen and preserve you, keep you in the one true faith by the life of the last day. Amen. Depart in the Lord's peace. Thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. We give thanks to the Almighty God that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we beseech thee that of your mercy that you would strengthen and preserve us the same toward thee in fervent love toward one another. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Blessed be the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and to be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. Amen. You too.
Amen.